better not say Rod, Representative Johnson, since he's the one that worked on it so much. I still have a problem with the language, and I don't know where it ended up, but it's still in the bill someplace. I'm looking at it in the -2 amendments under B, where it says the employee began employment pursuant to a written contract with the employer for a definite period and termination date and time provided in the contract have been reached. But my concern is, one of my big concerns is, I can see every employer in the state saying that when you sign that written contract, it says we will pay you 3 days after you are terminated. They have then got a written contract, and if I'm reading the law, if I'm reading it right, that would be covered. And maybe if Representative Johnson could answer if I'm interpreting this correctly.
All right. First off, that whole idea came from the existing language in the existing law, which at line 14 of the bill, page 1, it says, when any such employee not having a contract for a definite period shall quit employment, etc. I put, okay, so what there is already in there, in the existing law situation, where anybody that's got a contract for a definite period is exempted from the normal termination pay requirements. And what I was trying to do was I put the word written in there to avoid a situation where either party would, the employee might be tempted in some circumstances to say, well, hell, we had a contract, you're supposed to pay me immediately. And the employer, on the other hand, in the same circumstance, might say, we didn't have a contract. It seemed like it'd be more, it would avoid arguments if you put the word written in there. I appreciate that a lot of employees aren't in the habit of having written contracts, and we can scratch the word written. Again, this whole thing was just a discussion paper.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
And thirdly, on your point about the contract itself having some clauses that get around this law, that sounds like a legitimate concern. We could put in here something that would avoid that. This whole thing is a discussion vehicle, and I don't think we should just look at these words on this -2 and say they're good or bad and walk away from it. The whole thing is to lead the discussion, to maybe find some words that will fit all of our needs.
I do think it's important to state for the record, since Representative Dominey inquired about this, that the scenario he described should not fit the statutory scheme, and in my opinion does not fit it, and if this language stays the way it is, will not fit it. So any judge who's ever fooling around with a case like this, they ever listen to these tapes, will understand that, because I see this as being very tight provision. You began employment under a written contract. Not a contract written after you were working, but you began employment under a written contract with the employer. And that contract said you were working for me for a definite period of time, right ahead of time, it says that. And you put a termination date and time in the contract. So if it's not in the contract to show, and that doesn't mean a termination time of, well, you'll get your paycheck 3 days after you're terminated. It's got to say you are coming to work for me for 7 days and your job will be over at 3 p.m. on August 15th. That's the kind of contract we're talking about. And to me, that's a very narrow kind of exclusion. So if anyone thinks it ought to be broader, they better reword it, because that's the way I read it. That ought to take care of that concern. I don't think it ought to be broader either.
Let's go back to the word written. Should we take that out?
No, I don't think so. I think it ought to be a written contract for that kind of a very narrow exclusion. Otherwise, people will be arguing later whether or not you did begin employment with a contract that said you're getting off work, you're stopping work August 15th at 3 o'clock or whatever. I think that's a tightening provision. And most employees won't have a written contract, so this exclusion won't apply.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Since we're in work session, I will move to change it, line 7 and 8, to delete for less than 90 days and is, and insert as. So it would read, the employee has worked for the employer as either a seasonal farm worker or a worker in the construction industry, etc. We already have a definition of seasonal farm worker, which would fit in very nicely, and I don't think we need a 90 days restriction for that. And this would take care of Mr. Teeple's concern about the construction industry timing. The length of the project won't really be a material element.
Could you repeat that again?
Yes, we would delete for less than 90 days and, that phrase on line 7, On line 8, we would change is to as.
Okay. Any objections to that amendment? Okay, we'll accept it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We didn't have a lot of testimony from the motel hotel industry. We had testimony from the restaurant industry about their concerns.
Hospitality industry.
You're including restaurant in there?
Sure.
That's where
most,
it gets
most hotels have restaurants.
You got restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your help on this.
Mike, you sorry, I couldn't be of any help.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, you're not through yet.
I'm not done with him. If I can ask him, as I understand your concern, it's that motel and restaurant workers, for just taking that as a class.
That is a class. I don't really see the need for the bill, really. I don't see who's been injured.
You're getting down to the nitty-gritty now.
Yeah.
Well, we had people come in and testify that the system as written is not working for them. Employers are telling us that the system is not working for them. With the current computerized payroll systems and circumstances where it's not like it was in the old days where everybody used to have bookkeepers and they have paychecks and books full of paychecks and they can just write them on the spot, that the world has evolved away from that old traditional system. And we're having people come to us and telling us that old traditional system is not working. Can't we do something about it? And so what we're trying to do here is make small changes that would address their concerns without injuring people.
Mr. Chair, if I could respectfully disagree, I think that the system ought to respond better. Now, everything else has been speeded up. We're much more efficient with data processing. I think the argument could be made the opposite. And I've had none of our people coming in saying, hey, we need to change this system. Now, I don't represent employers, obviously. Let the record state that.
Mr. Chair.
It just seems to me that we've got these automatic bank teller machines now. These employers could just go down and get the money on the weekend. I think that's technology. Shoot, you can pick it up in the middle of the night. You don't have to find the bookkeeper to find a U-Bank. Just give them a U-Bank card, and they can just go take care of it.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
If we'd be willing to insert in the bill an elimination of all the payroll requirements that we now impose, the record-keeping requirements, the federal deductions that need to be done, the state deductions. It's no longer when you come in on Friday evening, you pick up your pay by having someone hand you a bundle of cash, and you don't even get a check handwritten anymore because of all those requirements. I have trouble paying my babysitter now because of all the stuff that has to be done in terms of paperwork. Maybe government hasn't responded very well to the whole system. Maybe computer technology will help us someday. But we're in a... I guess we're talking about the bill. I recognize that there's something of a
problem. Make some proposals.
Mr. Chair, sit back and vote no. I guess my concern is, again, whether there's a need for it, and I wonder, has Boley started citing anyone yet for violation of this law? And I've seen the Merrill Coughlin come in. Maybe we can get her to come up and talk to us a little bit about the number of cases and what types of cases they end up processing on this issue. It's a pleasure, the Chair.
She chooses not to.
Immediately.
Mr. Chairman,
members of
the committee, I don't really have anything to add.
Okay.
I guess,
Mr.
Chair, I would say that this would be about.
I'd just like to know I'm trying to get out of this is if there's a really a need for it, it must be that employers are all of a sudden being cited or something's happening different. And I'd just like to know what's happening.
Can I just throw in something while people are shuffling here, before these guys leave? Right now, if you're fired or there's an agreement to quit, paycheck's due immediately, except in the food processing industry, essentially. If the worker unilaterally quits, you get 48 hours to pay the check, excluding the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would be your reaction if we just dealt with the first situation? That's a fired or a mutual quit. Right now, it's due immediately. And said immediately is the next business day. It falls on a weekend or holiday. Because, you know, realistically, the business office might be closed and the business still operating. And, you know, that would at least, you know, give the bookkeeper a chance to show up for work the next day.
I think that may be reasonable. You have to take care of Greg's problem, and apparently your amendment has.
Well, just get rid of all this hocus-pocus about 90 days. Written contracts. It says now terminated by mutual agreement. That can be a written contract. That agreement can be reached in advance of the termination. So I think the law is broad enough to handle written contracts. And
Representative Edmondson, the only question that comes to my mind, if you create that situation, is are you under an employee-employer relationship until you get that check? Employer's asking me to come to his place of business more than likely to receive the check, and so
I understand your question, and let me cut you off. Typically, the circumstances of termination, after there's been, you know, after we're no longer an employment relationship, but come up and pick it up. I think those go beyond the employment relationship. I don't see that as being in the course and scope of employment to pick up the check the next day. I mean, it'd be the same as mailing it, and if you choose to come in and pick it up instead of having it mailed, the fact that you didn't show up to it when they mailed it doesn't mean you were an employee during that period of time. So, I mean, I'm just throwing that out.
What looks to me like you're saying is that we ought to take out
Representative Johnson.
We ought to take out paragraph 3 on page 2 that says that as the kind of catch-all thing, that if there's a termination of any miscellaneous kind, we really haven't already talked about up above.
Do
the next business day.
Yeah.
Wipe out the 11 days, you're saying.
That would be my reaction.
Gentlemen, are you interested in having a little work group to work on this, or would Mr.
McCoy? I would want to check with our clientele in the hospitality industry. Understanding that they usually have contracts, but they speak for people who don't have contracts too.
Well, Mr. McCallum was being invited up before this colloquy.
Well, maybe
let's
he can
let
have
him come on up and comment on this.
Jump all over my idea.
No, sir. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm not really sure where we are right now, so you'll have to maybe help me.
We're halfway into the Dash 2 amendments.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess
just compromise the joke.
Wondering how far we compromised.
All that's happened so far, Mr. McCallum, is the Dash 2 amendments were changed to take out the 90 days restriction. And the first business day part was left in. And those amendments were adopted, as I recall, and the bill is pending, and there's further discussion. There's not, in fact, I think I moved the bill as amended. Council can
amend. And it's open to discussion.
And we're in the discussion phase, but that doesn't mean we can't amend it further.
Okay. Chair Durfler, Representative Mannix, thank you for that update. I think a couple comments I'd like to make. First of all, is that we wouldn't have any problem with the suggested amendments to Dash 2. Those don't seem to be any problem to us at all. There's been some question raised about why is this bill necessary? And I think that we addressed a lot of those issues in our initial testimony. As Representative Johnson pointed out, the physical impossibilities of the current system complying with the law in many cases. It just physically isn't possible to. You asked some questions, or the committee asked some questions about whether in fact there's enforcement difficulties surrounding this issue now. are our employers being penalized by Bureau of Labor and Industries? We don't have any specific reports of that. We do know that enforcement activities within the Bureau of Labor and Industries are starting to focus somewhat on our industry, particularly around the issue of minors. And so we're very concerned about being able to comply with the laws as they're written, because there are substantial penalties for not doing that. I think a lot of the instances we've talked about today are perhaps not really as big a problem as they've made to be seen. We've got parallel laws in two states that surround us that seem to be working quite adequately. In Washington, they have the paycheck delivered, irregardless of termination or the employee quitting, at the regularly scheduled payday, period, without all this other stuff. In Idaho, we have that same provision, except it says within 10 days. And so I don't think that our request is unreasonable. I think it is necessary. We appreciate all the work you've done on the bill. I think some of it's been really interesting. I wonder about the necessity of all the nuances that we've discussed at this point. We think it is a good bill. We think that the work that's been done doesn't harm the integrity of the bill. We think it would still solve its purposes with the Dash 2 amendments, as well as the changes you've made to those, and so we'd encourage your support.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Mr. McDonald?
Mr. Chair, the only thing I'd say, being involved in the business, I know it is, it's very difficult to get paychecks through. You have an outside payroll, people doing your work for you, and it's quite expensive to do it that way, and I don't see personally anything wrong with the 48 hours. People have worked there for a period of time. They're used to living on a time schedule, and whether they get the check within 2 days, that seems to be very adequate to me.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Is there any other debate on the motion? The motion in front of us is to, well, actually, I want to double check with counsel. Was there a motion by me to finally move the bill as amended?
No, you moved the amendment.
The amendments have been moved. The bill itself has not been moved.
Correct.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would move the bill with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Durfner moves.
The bill has been moved?
Yeah.
The bill has been moved.
The bill was moved.
Okay.
Excuse me, was that before or after you suggested those changes about the deleting and adding the ads?
That was after. It's already been done.
All right. So the Dash 2 amendments with the changes, and I'll recite where we are right now then. We have the Dash 2 amendments with the elimination of the 4 less than 90 days change and the change of second business day to first business day incorporated. And the bill has been amended with those Dash 2 amendments, and that's in front of you. There is a motion to adopt the bill as amended in front of you, and we're still on that discussion phase if there's any further discussion. Representative Reedfine.
So the thank you, Mr. Chairman. The debate of 1 days or 11 days has not been entertained yet, right?
11 days is in the bill right now as amended.
For people who quit without notice. So the real rub, looks to me like, is what happens if, rather than a person quitting, the employer fires him? What happens then? And that, I think that's reasonable, and that's what we ought to be thinking about, you know, and finish our discussion on that. I think if the employer, and that's where I was talking about deleting paragraph 3 on page 2, if the employer is the one doing the discharging, the traditional walk up and hand them a check should probably, you know, we should consider keeping that. The only caveat to that at all, it seems to me, is that if rather than the employee calling in saying I quit, if the employee just doesn't show up, and that's what I was thinking about when I drafted this, if the employee quits with his feet rather than with his voice, then the employer ought to have 48 hours just just as he does if the employee, well, 48 hours or maybe, I mean, we're still, then we get back to the 11-day thing. If somebody quits without notice, do you give them the 11 days? I'd be in favor of amending this thing so that if the employer is the one doing the discharging, as the person talked about earlier, the construction company, not telling people until they're fired or until the job's done that their job's gone, they ought to, you know, they're the ones in control of knowing when that takes place. They ought to be able to have a check ready and hand it to them when that happens. So I'd be in favor of amending that, but yet carving out an exception and putting some extra words in here, and I started to do it once a few weeks ago and I never got to it, that would cover the situation where if somebody quits with their feet rather than their voice, they're considered, this, you know, they're treated the same as if they said I quit and walked off. If they just don't show up, they've quit, in effect, and we treat them the same both in both those circumstances. Any discussion?
Mr. Johnson, do you have a specific amendment that you want to offer?
If you give me a minute, I can come up with something. First off, we can...
While you're looking at that, Representative Johnson, does anyone else want to discuss the bill as amended in general?
Well, I just make a comment on that. If you had someone, as an example, that you found was being dishonest and you discharged them at that point, you're not going to have a check ready immediately. You have to go through the payroll
system. They can be suspended.
Okay. Then if you're going to allow people to suspend, then that's, in my opinion, circumvents what we're trying to accomplish in the law. And,
yeah, that's part of the intent of this whole thing is to get around the, if people are out there doing a suspension and then firing or terminating, you know, any time later, then why do we even have laws that deal with when people get their final paycheck if they can just be suspended? So we're trying to, you know, get around that fiction that people are engaging in and make something meaningful.
Representative Johnson, I discern from this debate that there's some uncertainty as to whether you would like to proceed with this bill today without working on the language.
I want the bill to be one that does, you know, what I originally intended when I drafted these things for consideration, that is cover the needs of both parties.
Right. Taking a look at the number of people sitting on the committee today and noting that uncertainty, I think it's appropriate to close the work session on House Bill 2775. That will allow further opportunity to develop.
I would point out to the committee that you are going to be working on House Bill after next week.
Yeah, Rod.
We will have to set this work this another work session Wednesday. Very quickly.
Ready for Wednesday?
Sure.
Okay, I'll put it on Wednesday.
Do you want me to carry on, Gene? Or do you want to stay?
Go ahead. That's right.
We'll open the work session on House Bill 3138.
Gentlemen, House Bill 3138 has two parts. To it. It's Representative Johnson's bill. It would add new portions to the law with regard to exemptions from workers' compensation. And what the original bill proposes to do is exempt partners who are related by blood but not removed more than three times by adoption or marriage or blood for all partners. And then along with that is an amendment prepared by Representative Baum's office that would exempt children who work for parents or step-parents in agriculture, and it's specific to people who file an IRS Schedule F form to report their income and expenses.
I noticed Representative Baum was here. Perhaps you'd like to come up and speak to this, Representative Baum?
We vote on that?
Thank you for your... No, you can't vote on that. Thank you for your patience. We were trying to deal with a troublesome bill, even though you were in the room. I apologize for keeping you waiting.
Well, that's... I just appreciate the opportunity.
Just did, or this one was...
Vice Chairman, I think the record, I'm Representative Ray Baum from District 58. House Bill 3138 comes to you by virtue of a simple problem that's been brought to my attention in the last 2 months. Being a district that's largely ag dependent, I've had a lot of calls from my farmers who want to know why all of a sudden they not only have to provide room and board for their children and medical coverage, but they also now are required to pay workers' comp premiums on their children who work on their own farm. And that situation has caused them a little bit of discomfort, as well as wondering why they would have to be liable for their wages since they need to support a family on their own. And that so what you have in front of you is an amendment to the bill that would add a new Section 18 that would state that persons 18 years of age or younger who engage in agricultural labor on land that is owned by the person's parent or step-parent, if that parent or step-parent files Internal Revenue Service form Schedule F to report farm income and expenses. This is an attempt to allow those people to continue to use their children on their farms without having to pay the same cost if they were hiring a hired man or hired woman to do the work, who would also have their own family to support, which the workers' comp law is intended to protect, is provide, you know, 66 2/3% of the wages so that they can take care of the necessities of life while they're off work.
And Representative Baum, you make a very convincing case. I don't think anyone's going to object to your amendment. If someone care to move the amendment, Representative Johnson?
I'd move the amendment that the dash twos be added to House Bill 3138.
Is there any objection to the dash two amendment? Hearing none, we have four votes. Yes, so ordered.
Thank you, Representative Maddox.
Thank you, Representative Baum.
I counted the votes before
good,
I did
thanks.
That.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have one other amendment that I probably should have made to the original bill and didn't. This whole problem came to me because I've had some people I was aware of in my district who were in the, quote, construction business only because they had some logging equipment, and they cleaned out ditches for logging companies, and they occasionally built logging roads and things like that. They were never in the true construction industry as we think of that name, meaning people who actually build things, you know, houses, industrial things, bridges, you know, those kinds of things. And I'm focusing on the word improvement in line 30 of the bill. What I'd like to do is change the word improvements to structures, so that if somebody's just pushing dirt around, they're not deemed to be in the, quote, construction industry, end quote. What happens the way it's written now, an improvement could be even somebody that, for example, builds fences on a ranch someplace, you know, in the Middle East in Oregon, and nobody would dream of calling them as being someone in the construction industry. I don't know whether the structures actually.
Representative Johnson, do you have a situation where they've actually had workers' compensation problems in this?
Yeah, that's what led to this bill. Yeah, they were dinged. They were partners, two brothers that owned a company that contracted out to build logging roads and clean out ditches and do that kind of stuff, and they got suddenly dinged with several thousand dollars worth of insurance premiums by Safe. For back years of insurance premiums.
Your suggested change, Representative Johnson, may create problems for this bill because you're getting into a very sensitive, complex area when you start talking about construction. And if we sent the word out that we were going to propose such a change, I dare say you'd have 20 people in this hearing room, each with a different view as to what the effect of that single word change would be. That's how heavy it gets when you get into construction. On the other hand, the bill right now relating to the blood adoption or marriage relationship of partners apparently is not gathering a lot of opposition. Friendly reaction would be that you might be adding a tremendous amount of baggage, even with one word here, that you may not want to add to this bill.
Well, I think you're hitting on the reason that I went with the blood. I mean, I could have either gone by the blood or the structures originally, and I decided for the very reason you're talking about, that solving my constituents' problem would be easier with the blood. So I made a blood pact to stay with blood, but
you know, it's not really a problem for them anymore because they, as soon as they found this was a problem, they incorporated and then they were able to exclude themselves.
I think you'll find your bill addresses another social problem, which is family-type partnerships, and this gives them some special consideration anyway, even though your particular problem is resolved. Representative Durfler.
All right.
Well, I just think that there is an answer to it, and that is they can't incorporate it. I'm not sure that it would really be an easy way to solve the problem in passing legislation like this.
Okay. Are there any other amendments to be offered to House Bill 3138?
Yeah, we want to have safe.
Do you folks come up, Mr. Davey, Mr. Gallagher? I guess Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Patrick Gallagher. I'm with Safe Corporation. The prior hearing apparently escaped our notice, so we would like to make a few comments about this.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Gallagher.
Our interest is not who is in and who is out. That's a social policy issue. However, it gets to an administrative problem to where, for instance, the brothers who got caught in the corporate, in the construction trade, we, of course, are the people that have to deliver that bad message and collect those premiums or accept or deny claims, whichever the case may be. Please interpret my remarks today as one of a concern over administration rather than putting people in or out of workers' comp.
Could you speak up a little more, please? Thank you.
Mr. Cudell of the Construction Board indicated that there are approximately only 123 or so partnerships registered with the Construction Contractors Board at the present time. No doubt that is due to the current law, which requires that partners in construction trade be